And hello, everyone. It's good to be with you again. And it's great to be able to open the Word, get involved a little bit. And I've been doing a little more study than normal here this week. So I think I've got a few insights that we need to look at. And this study might take two times, so we might have to do part of it tonight and part of it next time, but if we do, that's okay too. So as long as we're learning and as long as we're studying and as long as we are trying our best to come to the truth of the Word rightly divided, then we'll be all right.
Can't measure it by the number of verses covered.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Done. I already come to that conclusion quite a long while ago.
Okay.
Today's study is 195. In our study that we used the word wisdom to begin with, but of course, along with Jack Eberle's work, Mazinger Linear, we've gone through pretty much most of the last seven books. There's seven epistles that Paul penned, and this being the last, and Paul knows it's the last for him, and so we've come to understand a little bit about Paul and what he has said, and I've come up on things that kind of befuddled me a little bit, and it still does at times, but yet I've learned some things too. And it talks about the all things. And Paul used that quite a bit in these last epistles that he wrote, talking about the all things. And so I think the way he's looking at this and the way it's coming down to this, the all things are going to be the last possible things that he can probably give to mankind, and especially to Timothy in this letter that we're in now. 2 Timothy. Be the last one he'll pen. And so, it's got a lot of underlying stuff in it that I began to look at and never did really see as well as I should with that. But here we go. We're going to start in 2 Timothy 2. I'm going to read verse 1 because that's where we ended up last week. And I'm going to try to do 2, 3, and 4. Now, the structure of this is called a charge. And it starts out with grace and it goes to the soldier and the conditions of approval, then the athlete and the conditions of being crowned, and the husbandman and the condition of partaking of fruits. And then the last one, it starts with grace and ends with wisdom. And so, let me read one again, and it said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus," of course, talking to Timothy. And Timothy is considered to be his son, and he certainly was his son in Christ, because he had brought him to Christ by the teachings of the words that the Apostle Paul had. Now, we're going to start with two, and this is our study tonight, and this is grace. And this is the things that Paul shared. Two things that he shared, or three, or even maybe more than that, but thinking back, This is the things that was given to Paul, and he shared them. And it was, and one of the great things was the things that he had gotten from Christ, the words. And it's called the Good Deposit, back up in chapter 1. But it's also the power. You know, Paul had the ability to lay on the hands and induct or introduce power into these people with the ability to do things that they probably couldn't do before. And Timothy had been left in Ephesus. And Paul left him there to kind of keep the Ephesians straight in the way that they were taught. But that's the reason you get Timothy 1 and Timothy 2, because Paul wrote back these letters and he says, I'd like to see you again. I'd like to see you again. But here's what he wrote. Here's what he said. Verse 2. And this is part of the grace too. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So the teaching was vastly important, because there weren't but just a few that really understood this thing, and not many, maybe Titus and Timothy being the two in the forefront of all this, that had a little more understanding maybe than some of the others did. But I want to read you my notes. And my note says this on verse 2. And the things, and I guess you could put the all things, but it just said there, and the things, was the good deposit of wisdom that thou, you Timothy, has heard of me, Paul, and includes through how the Holy Spirit chooses, because it was known by them that everybody hadn't been chosen, or if they were chosen, they didn't hear it at the point of time. But Timothy heard it as he told the group, or the group of people that made up what we would call a church. And the many witnesses heard it. And this was the same deposit, because his entourage or who was with him and others from that area could hear these words, and Paul would give it clearly enough to where it would be understood by those that truly wanted to hear it or truly needed to hear it. Where he said, you commit to faithful men, Timothy, you commit this to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And there's no scripture given that Jack wrote, but now he's got notes, but there's no scripture that Jack put with this, because it's pretty self-explanatory. So there's no scripture given with this verse of grace here that we have. And so we'll go to the next verse. The next verse out of the structures says in verse 3, it talks about the soldier. Well, soldier, why do we need a soldier here? It doesn't seem like soldier and grace goes together. Well, maybe they do. Let's look at 3. 3 is not a very long one. It says, thou therefore, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why would you use the word soldier? Well,
because we're in a battle.
Timothy has been chosen. And I guess you could say he's been inducted into this group that you could call them soldiers for Jesus Christ. Because if this is a new dispensation or a newer dispensation, and there's people that's not believing this. And the belief caused some to fall away, to move away from it. Well, here we got the soldier. Let's read it. I may already have. There, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, therefore, endure hardness. Well, Paul knows about hardness. And he knows how it is to feel to be locked up. He knows how to be free. He knows how to be alive, and they've stoned him to death. He's been in all kinds of problems and troubles. Everywhere you go, somebody was dogging him or doing all this, and so he had to act like a soldier himself. And so Paul is kind of acting like Timothy's captain in this. Like Timothy, if you're a soldier, I'm your captain. And you're going to have to, I'm going to have to try to deal with you is to get, make sure everything goes away.
He kind of lays out all his marching orders too, think about
it. Endure hardness. Conditions as they might come. Paul said, you know, anything that you run upon, you try to act like a soldier in this thing. You be the piety there. You be the grown up in the crowd. Because piety is only used in Scripture 2 or 3 times. And that comes from the word pity, P-I-T-Y, but it's P-I-E-T-Y, piety. And it's also used in 1 Timothy also when it talks about the widow women. If you're dealing with the widow women, how to deal with the widow women. You got to be a grown-up. You can't act as a kid. Okay? Conditions as they might come, as a good soldier, be diligent, obey instructions, and the training that you've heard of me, remember also, Paul says, about being content, that God would provide by Christ Jesus. Because he's not going to call and we're not going to call and we're not going to send you somewhere that we don't give you the tools to do it with and to go with. Those called for God must be equipped by him. And so this is another part of this deposit, the good deposit. The strength that Paul can lay upon Timothy can endure in Timothy. to his advantage. Okay. Let's see what Jack said about these two verses of Scripture. Verse 2 says this. This has been used as a great theme of personal evangelism, this grace. The teaching is that the believer should win one, then pass along to him the knowledge that the winner has. Paul surely said this to Timothy, one of these, whom was the receptor of so much of Paul's personal teachings. Notice the qualifications of faith. This not only indicates more than a profession, but also the willingness to follow and to act upon the profession. Paul also wished Timothy to duplicate what he had done with many, because Paul preached to many. Teach and exhort, honored in the word, the competency then is not so much in physical and mental ability as the competency of faith. The true faithful attitude will overcome much of any natural liking. And then down to verse 3. Koine Greek, it says, you suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So there's not a lot of difference here in the wording of the verse out of the Koine Greek. Suffer hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And here's Jack's note on this. Some teachers feel that we must draw the conclusion that Timothy had been unduly timid. No, I think Timothy was just a young man to start off with, and he didn't push himself forward until he got more involved with Paul's teachings. Because you can't know the wisdom of God right off the bat. It's something that needs to be studied and studied and studied. Yet, it says the admonitions of Timothy could well be taken by most of those who aspire to the vocations wherewith God has called us. No one likes to imagine hardships or hardship conditions that might ensue. We work for His glory and forsake our own comforts or pleasures. Well, one thing Timothy had going for him, I don't think he had a family he had to take care of. And this would be another thing, because if you get inducted into service, they're going to take you and send you wherever you need to go, or where they need to send you to get your training done. Hardships may come, yea, and will come to many in His vineyard. It says, read seriously and meditate upon Philippians 1:29. So I'm going to ask you to turn back to Philippians, and let's look at Philippians 1:29 and 30, I think. Yeah. And it says this, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now bear to be in me. So, Paul says, right now, I'm your example. Okay? And now you can look at me as being your captain or your mentor in that situation. Well, we start to lay a little bit of the groundwork. So let's go back to 2 Timothy 2 and look at verse 4. In verse 4, listed there in the structure is conditions of approval, okay? Paul is expected to be approved by those that he is witnessing to. He's supposed to be approved by those that taught him that. And he may be somewhere that he doesn't feel real safe to be in. So 4 says this, no man that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him. He may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's a very pregnant verse.
Yep.
Okay. So, let's look at Jack's rendering of this out of the Koine Greek. Verse 4. No one, when engaged in warfare, entangleth himself with the other life affairs, that who enrolled him as a soldier he may please. Okay, so if you're chosen in your call, and somebody says, oh, you're involved in now, you're involved in this thing. And the involvement there is the enmity between. Is the enmity between the seed of God and the seed of man, or the devil, between the seed of God and the seed of devil. Because this seed of God is going to transfer to the Son of God. Because we're going to look at here where the seed of God said, it is finished. And what he means by that is that what he and God, aeons ago, had agreed to do this thing, when it come time to do it, that part of it was going to be complete and finished when he gave up his breath on the cross and spilt part of that blood there. Okay. Jack's note says, when a soldier is preparing for war, he must follow the commandments of his officer. Christ may call one to battle on a foreign field. He may call upon one to leave his clime or his family and house for another place, or his place for another place. He may call him to work in the area which he would least like. The soldier or warrior cannot bargain with his commanding officer. He will have to leave the pleasantness and comforts of his friends, his family, and his community, and maybe country, to go and do what he is asked to do. There is no scripture But boy, have I got some of it for you. Jack didn't give me any. This is mine. You can agree when I read it, or you can disagree with it, but I didn't write it. I just looked it up. Okay. Well, I got 30 minutes, so here we go. Okay. In my notes here, well, no, that was verse 3. Let's look at verse 4. And it says this, 2 Timothy 2:4. It says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This is the conditions of approval. No man, no one that warreth or taketh on the enmity of Genesis 2, the warfare between God and Satan. And the word there is entangleth. And in the Greek, the word is impliko, 1807. And it means to entwine or involve with in combination of more than one instance at a time, that you might be dealt things coming at you from both sides at a time. One thing for him was that not to get involved with the affairs of this life. You can't just get in the deal where you're looking through like a pipe or a hole and say, well, this is what I know. Because you might not have a chance to do that, because you might be in a situation to where you're really in dire straits, and you might lose your own life. But you do it in order that he might please the one who had chosen him to be a soldier. Okay. That's where we are in 4. And he's to follow the command of his officer. He might be on a foreign field. He might call upon one to leave his place, home, family, or whatever. He may be called to stay in a place that he can't see the good in it. And the warrior cannot bargain with his commanding officer. And his commanding officer here, we're going to talk about a little bit. And so here's what I want to say. I first want to turn to the book of John, chapter 19. Because you see, when Christ went to the cross, and he and the Father had agreed to this aeons back, and when he got there, and they put him on the cross, it was understood that that was what he was going to do. And Christ in the garden asked the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But it didn't pass. This was what he was there to do. And it said in John, the 19th chapter and the 28th verse, that's on page 1568 if you got a companion Bible. It says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things, here is the all things, were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, and he said, I thirst. He had taken nothing before, but he come down to the point to where he said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put upon hyssops and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, this is verse 29, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. When he did that, and he gave his life, and he did that, then he knew that he had finished that part of what he promised the Father that he would do. And so when that happened, the veil was rent in the temple. And the power went from the Father to the Son of God. Because he had paid the sin price for mankind, and he completely did it, and there was no need for any other things to be given for your sins. He had paid the full price for that sin at that point. And the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, became the sons to deal with to do the Father's work. And the Son told the people to stay there to Pentecost and that the Comforter would come. He would send the Comforter. And the Comforter was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, while they were there, and they were people there from all over the world, had been carried off into captivity and other things, and they had come back, 120 of them there at one time, I believe, and they all heard when Peter spoke, they all heard it in their own language. It wasn't any unknown tongues. Because that was the first thing that happened. And so, and it said that when the Comforter come, that you would be comforted. And so that comfort there comes in many forms. And that now the Holy Spirit could indwell into an individual because he had no sin. Christ had paid for the sin. If they believed that, then they were clear of their sin situation. They didn't have to be no bush burning. They didn't have to be no cleaning no place or anything like that. He could indwell you and does indwell you and me without even the scar. No circumcision. No need for circumcision anymore. And so that had been taken care of. Okay. Not only that, but when he had paid the sin price, That meant that others in the world, by believing on Christ, could have a hope of their own rather than somebody else's hope. Because before, it was all through Israel and through Israel that you were going to get your hope or have a hope. Oh, this thing's getting a little better and a little better all along, isn't it? Okay. Let's go back and look from John. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 1. Go back to 1 Timothy 1, 18. And look at what Paul has already told Timothy in the letter before the letter that we're looking at now. And he says this in 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Oh, he's already told him he's going to be a soldier once, didn't he? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, the coppersmith. They give Paul in Ephesus, give him all the problems, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. How many of you, and I don't know how to say this to get any kind of a response from this, but how many of you really know what he said here? Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Well, if you're a soldier in a battle and you got a commanding officer, he is responsible for you and for your being and however you conduct yourself. Well, guess what? Evidently, Satan is in this warfare because the enmity was between the seed of God, which is Christ Jesus, and Satan's seed, which he put into Eve, because he told, or God told them at one time about, you know, the two boys when Cain killed Abel. He said, "You're of your father, Satan." Well, that showed up again in the sixth chapter of Genesis because Satan showed his minions, the ones that fell, some of them that fell with him, how they could impregnate women of men. And they were bearing huge people called giants. So Satan knew how to do this, and he knew how he could tell others to do it also. So guess what? Satan here is the leader of these two people that we don't know very much about. We know a little bit about Alexander because he was a coppersmith, and he was making a killing off of them people, selling them these little shrines of Diana. This became their gods rather than the God of the universe. Okay.
All the little false gods, yeah.
Yeah, so we got that. Well, where are you going to from here, Cecil? Well, we're going to go back the other way in our Bible again. I want you to turn with me the Psalms 22. We all can almost cite by memory Psalms 23. But if you ever really stopped and looked at Psalms 22, this is a Psalm of David talking to his God. Or talking to his God. And David's in a warfare too. Stayed in a warfare.
Yeah, pretty much constantly.
He was like Christ. They dogged David everywhere he went. He was just a young man when he started. But if you remember the story, he slayed Goliath. He slayed one of the giants. And he had enough stones in his pocket to kill the rest of them with if they got after him. Now, this is God giving you the tools to do your job with. Okay. Now, this Psalm of David he talked about the chief shepherd coming to his glory on earth and to Zion again. 22:1 says this, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the prayer of the Son of God. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, there's roaring here. And my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. It's like he has been deserted. When he was on the cross, man, he was pretty much by himself. God had turned his back. And in the night session, I am not silent. But in verse 3, it's declared that Jehovah's holiness, but thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the phrases of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But Paul says this, that I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despisest the people of the people. And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusteth in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Verse 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. For there is none to help. Now that's what David was feeling like. And that's what he understood. That he had been offered to God from his mother's belly. Then we get down to the things on the earth. This was what I just read was Jehovah's goodness experienced. And his desertion was experienced. But see, here we start. In verse 12, with many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouth as a raving and a roaring lion. He said, when I look at these people around, they're just like roaring lions in there, gnashing and gnawing their teeth. He said, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth in my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. He said, here I am. I'm in a fix. Verse 16 says, dogs, talking about his enemies. He says, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. Because he can see these people that are against him. And they're enclosing him around. They pierce my hands and feet. Or this was...
They just happened to know that.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years before it ever happened.
I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength hast thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the powers of the dog, lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns or the bulls. Here's the word unicorns. I don't know why they use that.
King James translation. I don't know why they use a lot of what they use.
22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Yet ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised or abhorred the afflictions of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. That they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. And they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born. That he hath done this. It is finished, he said. He hath done this. This is what God had done for mankind. In the year 29 A.D. He went to the cross. He paid the price And the Son of God got the authority from the Father to be the go-between because he had bought back Israel. At that point, he had bought Israel back with his blood once for all. They didn't have to go back and do it again. Now, they were some that died before he got there. And when Christ comes back down to the Mount of Olives with his body, he is going to be the head of that body, and he is the one that does the leadership, have the leadership of the Holy Spirit that indwells you and I. If you and I have that Spirit living within us, it is through Christ Jesus our Lord by his things that he done when he said it's finished. And now we have a hope. And now we understand that when Christ appears, we will appear with him and we will be for him, with him eternally to do whatever it is that we're chosen to do or given to do. Amen. And we'll be part of him. We won't have to look to anyone else to have our hope. Thank God that we now have a hope of our own that is not really tied to some other group or somebody else.
Amen.
And we thank God that he can indwell us, be with us, lead, guide, and direct us, and direct our ways and paths. And like I always say, he's my GPS. He leads, guides, and directs me. I may not know where I'm at, but I know one thing, I'm never lost.
Amen.
He knows where I'm at. And he knows that whatever that I needed to do, that I'll do whatever I can do to do it. And so that's what I've committed the rest of my life to do. It took me a long time to get lined up. But praise God, I feel like I'm lined up. And to the point that now I'm beginning to understand some of these things that I didn't understand before. Why would Timothy be called a soldier when he was never in the military? See, things like that. And these other folks that didn't have a opening to God because they didn't believe. But yet, Paul could turn them over to Satan to straighten them out on some of the things. And I don't know what he told them. But whatever it was, I think Satan already knew at that point that he had lost the game. It's just a matter of being around for a while. But he's not going to be around on and on and on. Because when he comes back and that earthquake takes place and it tells you over there next to in Zechariah said, well, I'm going to give you 400 years when you're not going to have a prophet. But he says, when one does come, and you see the nail prints in his hands, and the nail prints in his feet. You can ask him the question, where did you get them? And Christ, the true Christ, is going to say, I was with my friends. Because you see, he went there for all of Israel and all of those that were dealing with Israel in some way, shape, form, or fashion. There was another place I wanted to go. Now, I didn't think I had time, and I really didn't. But I am going to mention this. You know, Moses was found in the river in a basket. And the Pharaoh's daughter took the kid as her own. Well, he grew up. But he knew he was different. He knew he was an Israelite. And so the Egyptians got to beating around on him, or another person that was an Israelite. And he went out and he slew the Egyptian, Moses did. And some of the other Israelites looked at him and said, who made you our guide? And he turned around and left them. He didn't even answer their question. But you see, all that was in play with God's plan and purpose. But he did become their spokesman for them. And they murmured at him probably till they were destroyed. Who knows what happened to them? But a lot of them that was in that 40-year trek in the wilderness didn't make it. A lot of their kids did, but they weren't allowed to because they complained against God. We don't know where he knew what he was doing or not, you know. I can hear the things now on some of the newscasts that we have today. Well, I don't really know what they're doing, but if you're in line with God and God's plan and purpose, you don't really have to know. You'll know it when it comes time. That's how God works. He puts forth his wisdom when you need that wisdom and you need that understanding to have the knowledge to do what it is that God would want you to do. Because he always gives you the tools to do it with. Amen. If you ain't got it, we can sell you. We can let you have one. Because we got them here. And that's my ad for this day. Take it away, Ron. Thank you. Love you all. And thank you for being with us tonight.